air. If a rumor started in the church that the pastor is a liar, should the pastor preach against it from the pulpit to defend his holy image? Give reasons for your answer. So what do you think? Do you think a pastor should preach against it? Yes or no? No. So then you all keep thinking that he's a liar. Huh? Oh, another meeting. Huh? What?
No.
Oh, not from the pulpit. So another occasion. So you call for an ACM. An ECM? Should you call for an ECM? No, the situation is the rumor has been going around the pastor's a liar. So if you call an ECM, one-to-one, but you don't know who. That's why it's called a rumor. You don't know who started it. So what do? Or publish something to write. I say, put in a pastoral page. The pastor is not a liar. Then, it's not appropriate. Huh? Then how do I deal with it? Or should we just ignore it? Ignore it? No, can I ignore? Tell me the way. Never deal with rumor. That's number one. Ignore it. Never, never deal with any email that is sent to you that is anonymous. Because the moment you start, you will not stop. You and I are not here to defend our holy image. Bear that in mind. Now, the question is, do you care much about what people say about you? Answer is yes and no, depending on the situation on a case-by-case basis. If a person stand up during the ACM and call you a liar, he's standing right there, then you have to defend yourself because you have to ask the person, show proof. What do you mean? What have I done? What have I said? What have I written? That is not true. Then you clarify. Bear in mind that we are all liars. Don't forget, we are all liars. So in a very general sense, it's true, we are liars. But we are not talking about us as a general person. Just like Jesus says, let the one who has no sin cast the first stone against this adulterous woman. Right? Caught in adultery. But the issue is this particular incident. So if the person stands up there, then you have to defend yourself. Otherwise, it will be seen as true and you will lose your credibility. Now, when the Apostle Paul in his epistles defended his apostleship, the false teachers have crept in. You and I know that it was genuine and therefore he had to address it, not for the purpose of his holy image for his own namesake. But if they had succeeded in all these allegations about his apostleship that was false, he's not really an apostle, he was not part of the 12 and so on, then the gospel Paul preached would be rejected. All the epistles that he wrote would be rejected as well. And then the Christianity and the Christian faith in these churches would be in serious trouble, jeopardized. And they will reject. And that's why he had no choice but to defend his apostleship for that reason. But as far as for personal holy image, just for his own namesake, he didn't bother. And we have to understand this. We are here to promote Christ, not to promote self. So is it wrong to care? Yes and no. You should care what people say about you in the sense that if your parents come and tell you that you as a young teenager should behave yourself well, because there are many teenagers in the church who look to you as an example. I don't care. You should care. Okay, so under those circumstances, you should always care how you project yourself for the sake of Christ. But under another circumstance where you just simply do your best and to be as holy as you possibly could, and if people still want to find fault with you, there's absolutely nothing you can do, and all their criticism against you, you just have to ignore it and leave it alone. And you can see that in the gospel, when Jesus Christ, as you and I know, was perfect in every way. And yet the Sanhedrin Council with all their associates tried their best to destroy his reputation and his holy image. So under these kind of false accusations, false witnesses from the enemies of God, you just have to ignore them. Because every time you try to rise up and try to defend yourself, you're not going to stop and it's going to make matters worse. So if a rumor, that's why I purposely use the word rumor. So you do not know who started it, it's just floating around, just ignore. If the people really believe in the lie, right? They will not be in the church here worshiping with you. The fact that they are still here with you, worshiping with you, listening to your preaching means they ignore the rumor. And here you are trying to defend it. You're going to make matters worse. You're going to broadcast it even further because it's a rumor. Maybe it came to your ears that maybe 10% of the congregation was aware of it. But because you preach about it, now the whole congregation is aware about it. It's even worse. So you fall into the trap of the devil. So the general rule is anything or anyone sends you an anonymous letter or you hear a rumor, ignore. Leave it to the Lord to take care of you and to protect your ministry. Because the moment you do not have general guidelines and principle, and the moment you deal with rumor mongering, you are going to have a nightmare of a ministry because you can't stop. And it's going to make matters worse. And I've seen this happen recently, and it was a disaster from every angle. Number two, some people who left the church blame you for the departure, which is very common and usual. Because when people leave the church, and if it is not your fault, if it's your fault, fine. Apologize if you have the opportunity, but the scenario is you don't have the opportunity. They already left. They did not confront you. They did not seek your apology or anything or to listen to your side of the account, but they just left. And then when people from when their friends or other members of the church asked them, why did you leave? And then they said this and say that, well, because of the pastor and this and that. But they did not speak with you for clarification. And then before you know it, it will spread. But you heard that they were spreading lies about you. Because when people leave, they want to leave feeling good about themselves. They do not want to leave blaming themselves that I am carnal, I am this and I'm that. And there's nothing wrong with the leadership. There's nothing wrong with the church. It's just my fault. Very few people leave churches blaming themselves. They usually find some scapegoat. And most of the time, the scapegoat will be the leaders, especially the pastor. So you thought that they were your friends because you spent many years together studying the Bible, having teas and lunches and visited each other's homes regularly. This is not theoretical, this is reality, you know. Would you confront them or just ignore the lies? I'll confront or ignore. You all had a discussion, right? You all have no conclusion. Should confront or ignore? What? Confront. Very good. Confront, huh? What are you going to say? I heard, right? Because the key word is you heard. I heard this, 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 and this, that you say this and this. Then the person will say, who do you hear it from? When did I say all these things? You see the problem? Because you only heard it, right? From someone who just said, you heard. They were speaking lies about you. Just leave it alone. They already left the church. Right? They already left the church. Why do you want to deal with this? If the person is genuinely sincere and caring, the person would have spoken to you before departure. The fact that they have departed, and then now they started to say nasty things about you, just leave them be. Why? Because if God perchance were to cause them to repent and have their eyes open, they can still return. Because you did not say anything, you did not do anything. But the moment you start to confront and all these ugliness will become more and more confrontational, and worse still, it becomes public. Even if they realize their error sometime down the road and they wish to return, they find it so hard to return. Right? So you do not do anything for your own personal glory or for your own sake. You do it for the sake of others, in case they repent. Right? They just started to speak. Let them speak whatever they want to say. You have not done anything wrong. They are the guilty ones. They are the ones who will look at you with eyes askance, right? They frown when they see you. You have not done anything. So you can look at them, you can smile, you can behave normally, but they can't because they have said all these things about you and they're uncomfortable when you are around, but you're not uncomfortable when they are around. It's only rumor. You just ignore it and commit it to the Lord. You see, when you want to help someone, remember, if you want to confront your desires to help, right? To clarify, clarify to what end? To what purpose? Hoping that they will come back to the church and have worship and fellowship once again. But when a person is not ready to change, you know any confrontation or counsel will result in a worse situation. You can only help someone, number one, if the person wants to be helped. If the person wants to be helped, then these four matters must all come to place at the same time. You have to pray for the right words. You have to pray for the right time. You have to pray for the right heart for yourself. And then you have to pray for the right heart for the other person. When all these things come to pass, all you need is one aspect does not come to pass. It will not result in reconciliation or any good help to that person. Okay, remember, we are here to promote Christ. We're here to do the work of Christ. We are here to help others draw closer to Christ, even your enemies. That's why Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Go the second mile when they ask you to go 1 mile. Why? Because by the good works you do, fire will be poured down, hot coals will be poured down on their head to make them feel guilty. Why is it that the more I hurt him, the more I slander him, the kinder he is toward me? He showed me goodness and kindness the more I destroy him. What kind of person is he? Was that not what Christ did for us at the cross? The more we sin against God the Father, God still sent the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and to die for us. And here we are on earth to be the mouth of Christ, the hands of Christ, the feet of Christ, the witness of Christ. So let us manifest the Lord Jesus Christ by our humble demeanor. Remember, whatever words that they throw at us, you and I know that once upon a time, they were all true. You say that I'm a liar. Yes, I had been lying in the past. I try my best even after salvation not to lie anymore, but sadly, I still do. Still lie. You're an adulterer. You are right. How easy it is for us to lust after woman in our own heart. And Jesus says that makes us an adulterer already, right? So when you say all these things, yeah, it's true. I'm sorry. I thank God that he has forgiven me. But if you struggle to forgive me, I can't stop you. But I thank God that my Heavenly Father has forgiven me for Jesus' sake. And all these things you say about me, yeah, it's true. Once upon a time, but at this juncture in my life, I know in my own heart of hearts, I have truly repented. And I know they are not true. But if you still want to say all these things about me, I can't stop you. But I'm not going to do anything or say anything to you. The Lord knows. Commit it to him, right? We're here to help. And if you can help a sinner turn around and become a child of God, better still. You do not want to see anyone cast into hell, do you? Number three, Pastor A did not defend the honor of Christ when the Perfect Bible was attacked. Number two. Matthew 5:23, that one is with reference to the Sermon on the Mount. When you're about to bring an offering to the Lord and the Lord says, if you know someone who is upset with you and angry with you, you stop your worship and your offering and then you go up to him and reconcile, right? That basically means that you may feel that you are holy, righteous, very well within your soul before the Lord. But then you know your brother who is angry with you, and because of his anger against you, for whatever reason, you know it. Now, if you do not know it, it's another matter. Once you know it, that means he cannot worship me. He cannot bring an offering to the temple to worship me. And therefore, you should be very concerned for his inability to worship me properly because he's angry with you. Right? That's the reason why you have to stop your offering, because you have to be your brother's keeper. Right, he cannot worship because how can he worship when God knows that he's angry with you. He's upset. How can he worship with peace of heart and mind? Because of you. So you have to go to him and explain and find out exactly what is the reason and what is the cause. And if you, after you have explained to him and do all that you can to apologize and he's still upset with you, then there is nothing you can do. But this is, that's correct. Hearsay. You only heard. Now, if the person said it to your face, then it's a different thing. That's why I use the word you heard. The person will ask you, who do you hear from? I heard from my wife. And when, who told your wife? Then my wife will say this and this. Then how? Because usually my wife will tell me. They won't come and tell me. Then I drag my wife into the picture. I say, who told you? Or this sister told me. Or this sister, okay, confront the sister. This is, you know how much effort it's going to take and then how many people are going to drag into the whole thing? To what end? My aim is to help the person. But by doing this, I'm not helping the person. I'm going to make matters worse. Right? Number three. Pastor A did not defend the honor of Christ when the perfect Bible was attacked, but when he was told that Pastor B called him a liar, he confronted B in B's home a few days later. What does this behavior of A reveal to you about his character? Again, this is real. The character is the person cares for his own reputation, his own name, than the reputation of God and Christ. When someone tells you and say that the Bible has mistakes or attack the Bible in any manner, you know the honor of your Heavenly Father and the honor of your Lord Jesus Christ is at stake. And we are all called to rise up and to defend, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Saints in the past have done so. It is now our turn and our responsibility and privilege to do likewise, to rise up and to defend the good name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine any attack on the Bible and we just sit there and keep quiet and let the attack go on? Because this person is my friend and for whatever reason, some personal aggrandizement, personal gain. But when his own name came under attack, just a rumor, he confronted the Pastor B almost immediately. Went to his home. In this case, it was not a home, it was the airport. I just changed the scenario a little bit. And then the pastor told him and explained to him that it never happened. So he was very concerned for his own name rather than the name of Christ. His character is, to me, extremely questionable. And thank God this person is no longer in my life. We used to serve together, but he's no longer present. Because later on in the years to come, he was found to have committed a very, very serious transgression. Worse than this issue of a bad name. Protect the honor of Christ. If your name is linked to the honor of Christ, like the way that Paul's office as an apostle was linked to the honor of Christ in those circumstances, by defending your apostleship, his apostleship and his name is basically indirectly protecting the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, by all means, defend. Because actually you're defending the honor of Christ when you defend yourself. Like the incident I mentioned earlier, someone stands up in the ACM and call you a liar and he's standing there. And if you keep quiet, then people will believe that it is true because you did not confront him and clarify with him. But on many other occasions when it is rumor, and it will happen time and time again, you cannot afford to lose any nights and try to justify and defend, because it's going to get from bad to worse. When you start, you will find it so difficult to stop because you have started a precedent in your own ministry and your own life. And before you know it, it gets out of hand and you forget that the only one whom you are defending is definitely not Christ, is yourself. That we must never do. We are supposed to have died with Christ. We don't exist anymore. And we are here to promote only Christ. and Christ the Lord. Thank you very much.